title of this morning's message is The If of Faith. The If of Faith. You know, most people know this story. It's a story that all of us pretty much know. It's the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you know this story? You know, the burning fiery furnace and all of those kinds of things. But how many of you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's real names? Without looking in the first part of Daniel, huh? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. But those were their Jewish names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then Daniel. And Daniel, the funny thing is through the passage of Scripture, we always know Daniel as Daniel, right? But they gave him a name too. Belteshazzar was his name. But how many of you would agree that if is a very strong word? What do you think of when people say if? Huh? Doubt. Well, that's the first thing I wrote down to you. Doubt, right? How about uncertainty? How about maybe? How about it might be possible? Those kinds of things. Is that what comes to mind? Doubt comes to mind with the word if. Well, in this story, we'll see that the word if has quite a different meaning here. The word if, and it's the if of faith. Here, the story here is Nebuchadnezzar came down and he took Jerusalem. He besieged Jerusalem and he took them into bondage. And then he said, you know, I want you to bring all the best of the kids into us, and that that our magicians and all of that, and they could teach them the Chaldean language and all of those kinds of things. And then you know that in the first part of Daniel here, we see Nebuchadnezzar's vision, right? And Daniel explains Nebuchadnezzar's vision to him. He had this great vision, and none of his magicians could bring the interpretation of the vision to Nebuchadnezzar. And he was worried about it. But then somebody said that Daniel could bring this vision to light to Nebuchadnezzar. So he brought Daniel in, and Daniel explained the vision to him. And it was this great man, right? And that Nebuchadnezzar was the head, right? And if you ever read this story, it's funny how Nebuchadnezzar, he gets caught up in that, right? He gets caught up in, all he saw was that he was the head. He's like, I'm number one. I get to rule and reign, right? And it went to his head, Nebuchadnezzar's head. That's all he heard, is that he was the head. And then what did Nebuchadnezzar do? After that, Nebuchadnezzar set up an idol. And most commentators say that this idol was an image of himself, a golden image of himself. And then he said, anytime and he names off several musical instruments, the psaltery and the harp and all of these things, if anytime any of these things break out in music, you're supposed to bow down and worship this idol that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And you know, there would be, if there was no worship, what was the end? The furnace was the end. And he explained that perfectly in Daniel, that the furnace was at the end if there was no worship. But let's start reading in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was threescore cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they heard and cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Excuse me, the herald cried aloud. That is, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar and the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, and every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at that what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get the if of faith this morning, Lord. I pray that you would give us boldness and confidence this morning, Lord. And Lord, we're asking you to teach us from your word this morning. Help me to speak clearly. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Point number one this morning, we know the background to the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were in bondage. But they had grown to know the people in that were rulers in the time, you know, the eunuch and all of that kind of stuff, back in the beginning chapters of Daniel. And the chief eunuch had grown to love Daniel. Well, Daniel got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego set up over the province of Babylon. They were in charge of things in the province of Babylon. And these were the best of the best, these boys were. The best of the best. But what I want you to see this morning is that these three men, it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they were doing in this chapter, in chapter number 3. A very familiar story, right? The three men cast into the burning fiery furnace, right? And these three men would not bow down when everyone else was. They stood alone. Daniel was on his knees, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing when everybody else was bowing to the image. You know, I find that a great thing right there. Sometimes, folks, in this world, people are going to chastise you for your faith. And you're going to have to stand alone. You know, some people are going to say, oh, well, it's okay to do that. Or it's okay to go and do this. Or it's okay to go to this place. And guess what? You're going to have to stand on your convictions. And you're going to have to say, no, I don't do that. You know, and I had this conversation with a man just the other day. I was out working, and he said something about going to have a beer and all of this kind of stuff. And I just sat down. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just shook my head. And he said, what? You don't drink? I said, nope. He's like, health issues? I'm like, look at me. I'm the picture of health. And I said, no, it's not a health issue. And then the next word out of his mouth, religious? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go here. He opened the door to the conversation, you see. And you know what he went to? You know what the next words out of his mouth were? Yes.
Bible thumper.
No. The next words out of his mouth were, Jesus drank wine. Oh, he caught me, didn't he? Oh, I'm busted. I might as well go out to the bar and have beer and Bible study, right? Because Jesus drank wine. And I said, you need to study that out. He drank wine, but your definition of wine and his definition of wine, two different things. Amen. You know, fresh squeezed grape juice is called wine in the Bible, folks. Yes. Unfermented grape juice. You have to discern it, folks. And that was about the end of the conversation. He didn't, you know, and he's got all the excuses in the world. He's got the excuses. All my youth group leaders when I was growing up, I got to watch them just sleep around and do whatever they want to do. And all of them are divorced now and all this kind of stuff. And you know what I was thinking? I didn't say this, and probably because I'm not quick enough. But the thing is that are you going to let somebody else's lack of faith interrupt what you're supposed to do? You know what I mean? What somebody else's mistake is going to be your excuse to get off track of what you're supposed to do. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing when everybody else was bowing. You know, they had boldness, these three men. They knew the rules. They were one of, you know, when he's called the meeting of all the rulers, the sheriffs, all the people that were in charge, they were at the meeting. And you know, I can picture him sitting there in the meeting going, I ain't doing that. You know, they're going to stand that image up in the sky there, this golden image, and I'm not going to bow to it. What about you, Shadrach? Abednego? What are you going to do? The three of them stood, standing in the midst of the crowd. You know, the great thing about this is that Daniel, if you read on in Daniel, the great thing about Daniel, he got caught too, didn't he? They said, you can't pray. They made a decree. They tricked the king into making a decree about prayer. What did Daniel do? He went in and threw the windows open and got down and prayed. It didn't matter because his God was big enough. And then you read about Daniel in the lion's den. That's a whole other story, right? Whole other passage of scripture. But they said here in verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what it said? You know what they're saying? Not careful to answer thee. It does not matter what I say to you, king. Our mind is made up, is what they were saying. Think about who they were speaking to. Nebuchadnezzar was the strongest man on the face of the earth at that point in time. He was ruling over, he was the most powerful ruler. And they stood up and said, we're not careful to answer thee. It does not matter what we say to you. Our faith is our faith. Our convictions are our convictions. We're not going to be careful to answer you in this situation. And you know, they had boldness, didn't they? How many of us, when we're faced with those convictions, you know, I'm thinking right now, I'm under conviction right now about the conversation with this man that I had, that I didn't speak more boldly about things. How about you when you enter into these situations? You know, often, so many times, all of us, and I'm the worst for this, I'll interject humor into it. Get everybody laughing and then escape the situation. And you know, that's not bold, folks. That's not standing up and saying right to the king's face, we're not going to bow to the image that you have set up. And we know what the consequences are. We know. Our mind is made up. The most powerful man in the world, they're saying this to. They didn't even think about what to say. They just said it. Where are these kind of people today? Where are we at today, folks? Are you willing to be bold and stand? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going the wrong way. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, there are three verses that I want you to see here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. And then verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, it says in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Does God want you to stand up this morning? Does he want you to be bold in what you do? Absolutely he does. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, it says that by faith you're to stand in the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, stand fast in your faith. In 2 Corinthians 1:24, it says, by faith ye stand. In Philippians 4:1, it says, stand fast in the Lord. The same thing in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, it says, stand fast in the Lord. How much plainer can it be, folks? You're supposed to stand up for your faith. You're supposed to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior. Amen and amen, right?
Amen.
Is nobody else excited this morning? I mean, the preacher's like, I'm red in the face. I'm all motivated about being bold, you know? We're supposed to be bold. We're supposed to take something from Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego this morning. To be bold, folks. They stood. Everybody else in the whole country was bowing at the music and the image that was set up. And they said, no, we will not. How about you? Are you willing to say no to some things? Hey, we want you to come over, speaking to the kids. We want you to watch a movie. Well, what movie are we watching? Well, it's this rated R something, something, something or other. Are you willing to say no and possibly lose that friendship? Some of us are bold enough that way, but some of us aren't. Secondly, we're to have confidence. We're to have confidence. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Oh, amen, right? God is able. Our God in whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. We need confidence as Christians today, don't we? These men stood, our God whom we serve is able. Do you get that, folks? They said, our God. Guess what? It's a personal thing. Is he your God? He's my God. And guess what? The same God that they had that walked in the middle of the fiery furnace with them is the same God that I have. Do you have him this morning? Is he your God? He's our God. It's personal. The same God that they had. Therefore, we can have confidence. You know, Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they proved God right then and there. You know, the thing about I love about it are the two ifs in verse number 17 and verse number 18. The ifs of faith. It said, if it be so, if we get cast into the fiery furnace for standing on our promises, our God is able, they said. They had confidence, didn't they? They were bold, weren't they? If it be so, fire or no fire, either way. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? Standing in front of the fiery furnace, do you have that kind of faith? They said, whether we burn or whether we not burn, we will not bow down to your image. Persecution or no persecution. No matter what the outcome. They didn't care about the outcome. All they cared about was their God. Amen and amen and amen, right? Amen. They were serving their God. It says that, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. They were serving their God. How about you? Are you serving your God? If so, how? By their fruit ye shall know them, right? The Bible says, I could go into so many things here, but I'm so pressed about the love that the church lacks in today's day and age. You know how the Bible says that the world will know that you are my disciples? By the love that you have for one another. Make it brownies, send in cards, make it phone calls, be in there when somebody's dying. Those are the things that people see. Those are the things that people want. They want to be loved. The Bible, my Bible, the King James Bible, calls it charity, folks. Love, charity. It's a giving thing, not a taking thing. Today's society, when you say the word love, what does it mean? Look at the word love used in all the movies today, in all the sitcoms, whatever you watch in media today. What does the word love mean? Me, 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 mine, mine, mine. How much can I get? And that's not what Jesus teaches. He teaches charity, a love that is giving. He gave His all for me. He gave His all for the whole world, it says. And these men have the confidence to stand up and say, no, I will not. No matter what, in the furnace or not, I'm not going to bow to your image. You know, these men had confidence. Thirdly, these men had commitment. Verse number 18, the Bible says, but if not, can you get that, folks? Can you grasp that? These men standing in front of the most powerful ruler in the world, and their faith, the faith of this if. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If not, can you get it, folks? There are so many people out there that are dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. Even so right now, folks. Somebody is probably sitting down in front of a man all masked up with a sword in his hand that's like a worn butter knife, and they're cutting his head off. Do you get it, folks? This thing's worth fighting for. He bled and died for you. These men had commitment. He said, if not, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. You know, there was unity in that, wasn't there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not. No service to other gods. No worship to idols. It was total commitment to God, wasn't it? You know, I could see, you know, maybe we ought to just, we'll just get down on one knee instead of both. And maybe we'll keep our heads up instead of looking, bowing down. Then maybe they won't see us. That's how Christians are today, folks. They think it's a covert thing. That you need to be camouflaged. You need to be in there doing everything like everybody else. Well, you know what the Bible says? That we're supposed to be bold. We're supposed to be confident. And we're supposed to be committed. You know what? He committed to me. He committed to me. 100% committed to me. Guess what? He 100% committed to you too. So why will you not commit to Him? Why will you not commit every aspect of your life to Him? How many of us are holding on to something? I'm the only one in that boat. Holding on to something that I won't give to God. Why? Why? Is it worth holding on to? Is it worth not giving to God? Is He not worth giving it to? I dare say He is. Total commitment. Unto death, if necessary, these men. These three men knew what they were saying. So my question this morning is, where are the committed Christians today? Where are the committed Christians today? Well, when the world says bow down, they say, no, I'm going to stand up. You know, when the world says kill babies, where are the Christians that say no? Where are they? And I'm not talking about the big things, people. I'm talking about God is concerned about the little things in your commitment. You know, but it doesn't just happen, folks. Your commitment, that kind of commitment, does not just, you don't just wake up one morning and go, okay, I'm going to be committed to Jesus Christ today. And then tomorrow I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. The world's wearing me thin. What does Jesus say?
Mrs. Davis in Kentucky.
What?
Mrs. Davis in Kentucky.
Mrs. Davis in Kentucky. It's a great example. You know, folks, each and every one of us are going to be tried at some point in time. And you're going to be asked, where do you stand? And what are you going to say? You're just going to tell some joke and move on? Or are you going to boldly stand up and say, you know what? I'm committed to Jesus Christ because He's committed to me. You know, that's the thing, folks, that we need to dare to be different. You know, the devil's got this all under control. You know that? He's got everybody duped into thinking what's happening out there. And people that come in and say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I can live however I want to. And you know what? Guess what? You can. But there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming for those that are saved and those that aren't saved. There's a judgment coming. How committed are you going to be? If Jesus were here, and I believe He is, or two or more gathered together, in the midst there I am, right? So if Jesus were here, bodily, sitting in the pew, what would you be doing right now? Would you be bowing down? Would you want to touch the hem of His garment? Would you want some of the virtue that He's willing to give? You know what, folks? That's what people want from us. They just want the truth. They just want that charity, the love that we have for them. They want us to be committed 100%. And like I said, the devil's got it all watered down, diluted. My daughter gave me the illustration here a couple weeks ago about the vinegar. The vinegar you buy in the store, it's only 10%. It's 90% water. 10% vinegar. And that's Christianity today. Jesus turned the water to wine. That's a bold-faced lie, folks. Think about God and His character for a moment. What kind of God do you want to serve? One that's willy-nilly? And has got no standards and no judgment? Or do you want the kind of God that the Bible talks about? He's loving. He's made a way through His Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And you know what? He gave His life that each and every one of us can go to heaven someday. That's worth being bold and confident in, isn't it? That's worth being committed to, I think. Amen. Somebody that's willing to commit to me like that and give His life for me and my sins, it's worth being committed to, isn't it? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.